The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Acts. I'll be reading Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc for the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
To the God that does all things well, we are grateful to be here, to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to let everyone know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here. Great passages of scripture that was just read. I do want to say from the onset that the worship service thus far is such a blessing, and the reverence that is shown is something that I've learned over my short preaching life. It's very, very reverent here, and I want to continue to express that because we need to continue to do that, even to the small part, if I can say it that way, of making sure that the lids on the trays are right. Paying attention to detail. God deserves us paying attention to detail. This month, we are talking about opportunities that truth affords. I'm excited about this particular series of lessons because when we consider opportunities, we're talking about that which is fit for a convenient time, that which is favorable for a specific purpose, that which is suitable depending on the circumstances. When we think about the truth, as we have been discussing all year, we know that truth is absent from falsehood. John said in 1 John 2:21, there is no lie of the truth. Jesus would say that the truth sanctifies, and it is the truth that sets us free. When we consider Acts chapter 8, I wanted to bring this lesson from a futuristic perspective. Because here in San Angelo, yea, even Texas, we really are not experiencing some of the things that some of our brethren are experiencing in other states, even in other countries. Perhaps we will be delivered from that. Perhaps we will not go through it. But if we do, it wouldn't be nothing new to the scriptures. And when I considered this text, those who were scattered, the idea of being scattered is the idea of those who are driven to different places. I want us to consider that because when we think about Acts chapter 8 and the persecution that the Church of Christ was going through at this particular time, I'm reminded of the persecution that Stephen just endured in chapter 7. It was normal for the children of God, the Church of Christ, to go through persecution, to be chased, if you will, to be driven to different places. We see something very interesting as it relates to the superb attitude of Stephen, that while he was being gnashed on and stones being hurled at his body, he has the superb mentality and attitude in verse number 60 of chapter 7. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. What an excellent attitude. Paul, at this particular time, Saul, being right there seeing the stones being hurled at Stephen, would later on in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16 utter the same words, which meant that he learned something. He learned something from the persecution that, if I can say it this way, he was the head of. He was orchestrating this persecution of the church of Christ. This wasn't nothing new, because when we stop and we consider Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4, now the church is scattered. They're being driven to other places. Ananias would acknowledge the persecution of the church of Christ at this particular time as he is talking to Jesus in Acts 9 and verse 13 and 14. When he had the nerve to tell Jesus, do you know how much harm he's causing the saints? As if Jesus didn't know. Saul was persecuting the church. He was driving the church away from their home base, if I can say it that way. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, Herod stretched out his hands to harass the church. That's the language. He was harassing the church. And he saw how the Jews liked it. They enjoyed how the church was being persecuted. Can you imagine a group of people who are enjoying the persecution and the mistreatment of another group of people? A group of people who only wanted the best for the world that was around them. In Acts 16 and verse number 19, Paul and Silas was being dragged into the marketplace, dragged in the streets, if you will, by the authorities. In Acts 18 verses 1 through 4, Aquila and Priscilla and all of the Jews were ran out by Claudius. It was ran out of Rome. Persecution is nothing new. Mistreatment is nothing new. We stop and we consider this. It's very interesting how these episodes actually benefited the church of Christ. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14, he would say that it actually furthered the gospel. His chains, the things that he endured, the things that he went through. Again, when we consider the martyrdom of Saul, or Stephen rather, and the things that he went through, it actually furthered the church. How? In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4, we see that the church went everywhere preaching the word. That's interesting. The church actually benefited from being scattered. The church actually grew because they were scattered. They went preaching the word. They went preaching Christ. They went preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. The hand of the Lord was with them. They grew and many turned to God. Let's stop for a second. Let's ponder. Because of the scattering, because of the persecution, the people of God actually benefited. Because of suffering, the people of God actually grew in faith, in strength, in spirit. Now, one thing that I do know about us as people, it doesn't matter where you are in life, we don't like a lot of suffering. However, we know that suffering is part of life. In Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 24, Herod had Peter and James in prison. He has James killed, And I find it very interesting that the church immediately went to praying. Notice the benefit of suffering, persecution. The Lord answered their prayer. Remember when Peter got out, he went and he found the brethren, knocked on the door. A little girl named Rhoda came. She was surprised. Peter goes in, motions his hand, begins to tell them all of the good that God did. The church grew in their trust and faith in God. In Acts chapter 12 and verse number 11, Peter would say these words, "Now I know." Notice what took place because of suffering, because of persecution. He had knowledge. He had faith. He had strength. He had confidence. The church was astonished in verse number 16, demonstrating that they were connected to God even more so because of their prayers, because God answered their prayer. It was an opportunity to see God's provision, not only in their personal lives, but in the life of the church. Mike, what are you saying? That in the midst of persecution, it's a time for us to go toward God, not away from God. It's a time for us to rely upon what we have learned. It's a time for us to trust God because he will deliver. And one thing that Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 11, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, that God delivered me from all. Friends, he's still delivering today. In Acts 16, verse number 25 through 40, turn your Bibles there as we continue these introductory thoughts. It is because of the mistreatment, again, of the Apostle Paul and Silas. We find in verse number 25 that the prisoners were able to hear singing and praying. Hold on. We have Paul and Silas being mistreated, suffering persecution, being beaten, if you will, mistreated. They're in prison, they're locked down, and they begin to sing and pray. The prisoners begin to listen to this. They hear this. They're benefiting from this. I can only imagine what was going on in their minds. We know what was going on in the mind of Paul and Silas. It was praise, honor, and glory. I venture to say that they would have the same attitude as Peter and the rest of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. They were just pleased that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the cause of Christ. You stop and you consider that, and you think about verse number 28. Here we see that Paul was able to put his integrity to practice by yelling to the jailer, "Do yourself no harm." Hold on, Paul. You are just mistreated. You are persecuted. You suffer. You are suffering. Yet he sees a man that is about to kill himself, do himself spiritual harm. And friends, murder. Suicide, harming yourself is spiritual harm. Here, Paul, in his integrity, sees this man about to kill himself. Do yourself no harm. It tells us something. It teaches us something. The jailer was able to realize something different about these men. And in verse number 30, he sought spiritual help. Mike, what are you teaching us? What are you saying? Stay with me. They were able to hear the gospel preached in verse number 32. The jailer and his family repents and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're rejoicing in verse number 34. And I find it very interesting that the church is continuing to grow because of persecution. All of these blessings occurred because of suffering and persecution. Opportunities the truth affords. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse number 6, I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul would even say these words, but they're true. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse number 6, Paul says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Friends, did you see that? God was working through the apostles. He's working through the Christians. They're scattered. And God is saying, "I'm working my plan. Yea, all they that live godly shall suffer. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, and verse number 16. As Christians, we ought to be thankful that we're suffering. You stop and you consider these words, and it caused me to think about some things. That when one is running from a situation, it does not necessarily mean that they're running because they're scared. Now, I need us to think about that. Why? In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 12 through verse number 17, in that area, I'm just going to make this reference. You go back and look at it, but this is when Absalom was about to kill his father and those under his regime, if you will. Here, David tells his men, let's flee, lest the sword is against the nation. David, why are you running? I always thought that David was running from his son because he was afraid. He was running because he didn't want the kingdom of God to suffer. Which reminds me that when Jesus, when they came to make him king and he ran away, we know that Jesus wasn't running because he was afraid. He ran because that was not how he was going to be killed, thrown off a cliff. Now, I'm bringing some balance to this situation. Because when we stop and we consider persecution, suffering, being made to scatter, could it be that we run because we want to continue to hurry up and get the gospel out, and we know that if our demise takes place, then the gospel cannot be preached through us? Sometimes Mike Bonner gets this American Texan mentality, and I bow my chest out and say, come on, bring it. I'm just talking about me. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. There's a time for that. One preacher told me one time, there was this false teacher in town. He was talking crazy. And I said, man, come on, man. We need to go. We need to go confront this brother. We need to go get this. We need to go do this. Don't you ready to fight? He said, Brother Mike, I'm always ready to fight. I'm just not always fighting. It's a great point. We stop and we consider point number one. I told my wife I was just going to talk to y'all this morning. I am talking. I ain't even got the preaching yet. I'm just talking. If we're scattered, if we as the people of God here in San Angelo, Texas, were scattered, we're not yet, where will we go? Have you made up your mind where you're going? If we were scattered, where would you go? Hopefully, when we think about going somewhere, we'll be like the Apostle Paul in Acts 9 and verse number 26. You remember when he just obeyed the gospel. He went and attempted to join himself to the disciples. These points are real short. Y'all gonna think something wrong with me. That teaches us that in the midst of persecution, by way of principle, when we are chased, when we are scattered, when we are driven from our post, if you will, that's not a time to go somewhere and not find the brethren. Go find the brethren. Why? Number one is commanded. Number two, you need spiritual encouragement. Paul wanted to join himself to the disciples. In Acts 20, verses number 11 through 15, hopefully you'll find some brethren who are willing to receive you. That's what you're looking for. Again, we haven't been scattered. We're not going through some of the things that some of our brethren in other nations are going through yet. But the writing is on the wall. I was talking to Brother John Hall yesterday, and he asked, what you gonna preach tomorrow? I was kind of giving him an idea. He said, yeah, that's something in the future. I said, yeah, something we need to be thinking about. The last thing we want to do is be in a frantic mode that now we have to think about what we're going to do. No, have in your mind what you're going to do. In Arlington, there was a shooting last week, and the children, they already knew what to do when they heard the bullets ringing inside of the school building. That's good. At one time, we didn't have those practices. But now we do. It's the same for us. And hopefully, as the children of God, as the church of Christ, if we are ever ill-treated like the brethren in the scriptures, like some of our brethren in Afghanistan and other places, hopefully you'll seek out the brethren. Go to Acts 14. In Acts chapter 14, we see something as well in the scriptures. Opportunities that truth affords. We've seen all of these opportunities that the truth afforded the children of God. Do not look at persecution and suffering as an opportunity to do nothing. As a matter of fact, look at it as an opportunity to do the will of God even more so. Here in Acts chapter 14, starting at verse number 19, ending at verse number 20, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitude. They stoned Paul and drug him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Doesn't sound like they cared about Paul too much. They didn't care about his ministry. They didn't care about his apostleship. They didn't care about him being a Christian. They didn't care about him being a human being. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed. There's something about having good brethren around you when you're stoned and drugged for dead. Amen. It's good to have good brethren around you before that situation takes place. It's good to have good brethren around you when you are suffering persecution from your own family members because you're a member of the Church of Christ. It's no new thing. In the book of Hebrews, you see that. It's flooded in the book of Hebrews. Here we see something very encouraging for us. He's stoned. He's left for dead. The brethren gather around him. They're encouraging him. He gets up, and guess what he does? He goes back to doing what he did before. What a blessing. To see these type of stories, to encourage us, to help us, that even in the midst of the worst of times, we need to stay focused on where we're going, what we're doing, and who we work for. If we are scattered, where will we go? Number two, if we were scattered, what must we continue to preach? It's not a time that we be wavering on the doctrine. Not a time to be mixing and mingling with false doctrine and false teachers. Mm-mm. This is a time to do what they did in Acts chapter 4. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. They continued to preach Christ. They continued to preach the word. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 12, they were preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to preach Christ? You preach the church. You live it out in your life. The distinctive nature of the church, the oneness of the church. If we're ever scattered, we need to continue to go out into the world and preach the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You continue to preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't shut up. Continue to talk. That's what they did. They didn't shut their mouths, even though people probably wanted them to shut their mouth. Mm-mm. They continued to talk. Being scattered, we know and understand that we need to continue to do what God's will says. Look at Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, I found this very interesting that three times the word scattered is used in the New Testament. And they're all used in connection to what took place to those who were scattered from Jerusalem. Only three times. In Acts chapter 11, starting at verse number 34 to 43. Here, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse number 34. Verse number 19, I'm sorry. Verse 19. There is no 34. Now those who were scattered after the persecution, notice this, that arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Notice, they just kept going to the upper coast of Europe and Palestine. They just kept going and going and going. They didn't stay put. They kept going. That ought to teach us something. That we ought to be looking for opportunities to continue to go and teach and preach. But notice what he says. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Hold on. They were persecuted. They were scattered. And God was still with them, even in the midst of the persecution, even in the midst of the suffering. God's hand was still with them. What's the teaching for us? Just because we're scattered doesn't mean that God is not with us. As a matter of fact, I venture to say during the toughest of times, God is with us. And that's why when I think about Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, Psalm 22, why have you not delivered me from this cross? It's not that God left him. It wasn't in God's will to deliver him from the cross because it took the cross in order to save men. God was very much with him. God doesn't leave us when we really need him. He didn't leave the church when they were being scattered. If anything, he got more work out of them when they were scattered. Wow. So when we stop and we consider these things, in Acts chapter 10, we see something else in these passages. In Acts chapter 10, starting at verse number 34, notice what the Bible here says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, no respect of persons. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What are we trying to do? The same thing. Trying to put people in a position where they can benefit from the impartiality of God, where they benefit from them reverencing him, and those who are working righteousness. Friends, we have to continue to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach the cross. Can't get away from the cross. Brother Matt, when he was here a couple weeks ago, preached on the cross. It's an excellent lesson. Go back and listen to that. Take notes. You stop and you consider, what are we supposed to be preaching and teaching? Can't get away from the cross. Just because we're being scattered, the truth must continue to go out because these are opportunities for us. It's not a time to be sitting back doing nothing, living in fear. No, the people of God, as they were scattered, they continued to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We must preach the cross. We must preach the resurrection. We must preach the remission of sins. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Those who were scattered went out doing this very thing. So the question is, what are we doing? What do we have our minds made up to do? I find it interesting that those of us who are living by the principles of God have their mind made up that they're going to continue to do the will of God regardless of what comes their way. Young people, have your mind made up what you're going to do. You continue to preach Jesus Christ, to live it out in your life regardless of who takes over. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If the God of heaven is not the God of this nation, you still serve the God of heaven. Amen. You have to, because he's the only one that's going to save you. Allah can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Buddha can't save you. You can't save yourself. Oprah Winfrey, years back, she's just as crazy as she was then. She's crazier now. Talking about that, we are all gods. I'm really trying to be nice up here. But she is too intelligent to be so dumb. But some of us in our land really think that we are God. Friends, we're not. Point three. If we're scattered, we must be thankful for the suffering. What? You remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Think about this. Here you have the people of God, again, being persecuted, scattered. On many occasions, scattered. On many occasions, persecuted. In the midst of that, God is keeping his people in check, which is a difficult thing. I'm thankful for this suffering. Really? Yes. Again, going back to Acts 5 and how the apostles, they counted it, they didn't count themselves worthy to suffer shame for the cause of Christ. They were thankful to be counted worthy. Thankful? I'm going through all of this hardship because of my faith in Jesus, because of my stance in Christ, and I need to be thankful? In everything, give thanks. Why? because I would rather suffer as a Christian than one who is an evildoer. Look at Matthew 5, very basic text. This is a very basic sermon right here. It's basic. Everybody should go home with something because that's how basic it is. Nothing deep about what I'm saying today whatsoever. Look at Jesus' words, Sermon on the Mountainside, talking to Galilean Jews. Transition of the law of Moses to his law, the law of Christ. Happy, Makarios is the word for blessed, are those who are chaste, persecuted, for what? For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now he elaborates on it. Blessed are you when they revile you. Jesus was reviled. He was spoken evil of and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, not your sake, his sake. It's okay. It is still okay to suffer for Jesus' sake. It is okay for young ladies and young men to keep themselves pure while dating, waiting for marriage. It's still okay to do that, Brian. It's still okay for us as the people of God here at 9th and Main to stand up for the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why do you keep saying that? Because we need to really stress that. I believe there are some members of the Lord's church that don't believe in the oneness of the church, the distinctive nature of the church. And so they received persecution. The people began to talk ill toward them and about them. And so what do? They begin to cower down. Well, maybe they are Christian. Well, no. No. Why? Because of the outline that God has left us through his word, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. And the Bible continues to teach us if we would just stay with it. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 12. Rejoice and be somewhat glad. Is that what your Bible say? Exceedingly glad. Hold on. Those who were scattered had to have this attitude. If we are scattered, we have to have this attitude. Be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's all right. It's okay to go through a little bit of suffering, to rejoice that we are counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. It's okay for that. And so this point requires us to concentrate. It's not always easy to be mistreated and people talk ill of us because we're trying to do what is right according to the law. There's a song that we were singing, and it made me think about Romans chapter 13. Turn there real quick. Let me show you something. And of course, during the pandemic, we was using Romans chapter 13, and rightfully so. Now I'm about to use it this way. Watch it. This is all I'm going to say on this, and I'm going to move on. Verse number 3. For rulers are not a terror to do to good works. I can't tell. I can't tell. Seem like the rulers are against good works now. Well, hold on. If we as the members of the Lord's church begin to stand up for morality, and we have been, and we should continue, and if we're scattered, we're going to continue to open up our mouths and say that homosexuality and transgenderism, which is nothing, because God made them both in the beginning, male and female. So if we're persecuted for that, if we're suffering for that, yay, lose our life for that, so be it. It's still wrong for people to sit at home and do nothing and collect a check. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong for people to be lazy. Yet we have rulers that are actually saying that's okay. It's wrong. Verse number 4, notice what he goes on to say. For he is God's ministers to you for good. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's ministers, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practice evil. So here's the problem. What happens when the rulers are the ones practicing the evil? We continue to practice righteousness. we don't return evil for evil. As a matter of fact, in this same letter, we return good for evil. Friends, stay focused. And really, I'm talking more to myself than I am to anybody in here. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay spiritual. Stay righteous. Stay faithful. Don't allow the times, Matthew 24, verse number 12, to cause you to have a cold heart. Scattered. Opportunities that truth afford comes in various ways. Let us not be like Felix. In Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25, remember what he told Paul after he taught him about righteousness? He said, go away and come back. I'll call you at a more convenient time. Wow. No. The opportunities that truth afford us today, friends, we actually get to demonstrate being the light of the world. Jesus being the light, and we are reflections of his light. What a blessing right now to live in such a time as this. What a blessing. I was thinking about this the other day, that God has put all of us right here at this particular junction in life to be lights to this dark world. Question, are we going to use these opportunities to promote the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I believe we will. I believe we are. I was telling the teenage class that there's a great deal of strength here at 9th and Main. Friends, let's continue to be the strength that God desires for us to be. Stay in the Word of God. Continue to practice righteousness in your life. Because when it's all said and done, God delivers. He always delivers his people. He has never not delivered his people. He has always done it. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll offer the invitation. Great God and Father in heaven, you are so good to us. And it bothers us, Father, when we don't live up to your standards. We pray to Father that we'll always humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We're thankful for the opportunities to promote truth. We're thankful for the opportunities to be the light. Father, we know that all we have to do is stand. Sometimes we fail in standing and we're sorry. We ask, dear Father, that you strengthen us, encourage us through thy blessed word, through the beautiful body of Jesus Christ, through exhortation, through admonishment, through rebuke, through chastening. We pray, dear Father, you continue to do that. We're thankful for the brethren here. Pray, dear Father, that they will continue to look to your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of their faith, our faith. Father, we know that persecution and suffering comes with the territory of being a Christian. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we want to fight back in a carnal way. Sometimes we want to fight back according to the old man. But help us to be like Michael the archangel. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like the Apostle Paul. Help us to be right. Father, as we continue to think about opportunities this week for truth to prevail, we pray to Father that we will just humble ourselves and allow you to work through us. Forgive us when we fall short as Christians, when we repent and confess. We pray to Father that we'll go out and seek and save the lost this week. Perhaps one will say, what must I do to be saved? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider this opportunity for truth. You probably believe that you're Christian. Well, let's ask a question. Do you know what the gospel is? According to the scriptures, The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. In Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15, the gospel is the kingdom of God. As we saw according to Philip in Acts 8 and verse number 12, he was preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. He preached those things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God, according to Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, is the church, the called out. Called out of sin ones. Those are the ones who have been called to an assembly of believers. Those who have had their sins washed away. Acts 2, verse 47. If you're not a Christian and you didn't know that was the gospel message, then you need to ask some questions. What am I doing? Have I had my sins washed away? Am I a member of the Church of Christ? The church you can read about in your Bible, the Word of God. You do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Repentance is necessary. And the reason why is because when you think about repentance, it's a change of mind, which leads to a change of life in view of eternal life. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And then wait for the suffering, because here it comes. Those who live godly shall suffer persecution. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, the suffering has been getting to you. It's been irritating you, causing you to be disturbed in your mind and in your heart. Well, there was a time when, I believe it's in the book of Judges, if we can't run with the horse, the footman, we won't be able to run with the chariots. Judges 11. You know what he's saying? If this little bit is bothering you, when it really comes, you're in trouble. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.